Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm Bill McKeever, your host, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at this statement that has been put out by the LDS Church regarding the priesthood ban, and of course, it's the result of some comments that were made by a BYU professor by the name of Randy Bott. The church came out with a statement refuting what Mr. Bott had said regarding the genesis of this ban and why those of African heritage were not allowed to hold the priesthood. And in the statement, it says it is not known precisely why, how, or when the restriction began in the church, but what is clear is that it ended decades ago. Some have attempted to explain the reason for this restriction, but these attempts should be viewed as speculation and opinion, not doctrine. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. This was never a doctrine. What the Mormon Church leadership is trying to tell us today is that for much of its history, a segment of its membership, those of African heritage, were actually being punished by LDS leaders who could not discern the difference between what a doctrine from God is and what mere speculation or folklore is. Now, of course, these leaders who said these things didn't look at that way, and they often attribute this teaching to God Himself. Call it what you want, Mormon apologists. Call it what you will, Mormon leadership. The fact is, your leaders said that this teaching came from God. So you can't deny that.
Most of the past shows, Bill, we've just been quoting after quoting after quoting from Mormon leaders themselves. And the reason we're doing that, we think this is so important. We want you to hear from their mouths what they believed and what was really a doctrine. And we've put this on the website, mrm.org, so that people can access this on the front page of our website.
Correct. If you want the list of quotes that we've been citing, they are there. We feel this is so important. We have posted them ahead of these broadcasts so that they can be in your hands when you're talking to your LDS friends. And I know some of you are wondering, hey, are we ever going to finish the miracle of forgiveness? Yes, we are. We are going to finish it. In fact, those shows have already been recorded. It's just that this became such a timely issue, we felt that we needed to interrupt that study and talk about this while the subject is out there in the media right now. Let me begin with a statement from the ninth Mormon president, David O. McKay. Now, if you read some of the things that David O. McKay said, it sounds as if David O. McKay was certainly struggling with maybe some of the aspects of this teaching. And though he never really changed anything about it during his life, he did write a letter. And this is important. He wrote a letter dated November 3rd, 1947. And this is what he said. He said, "I know of no scriptural basis for denying the priesthood to Negroes other than one verse in the book of Abraham," and he cites Abraham 1:26. Don't have time to go into that right now, but it basically deals with Egyptus and things like that. You can go back and read it yourself. Abraham 1:26. That was the verse out of Mormon scripture that the ninth president, the prophet, seer, and revelator of the Mormon church, felt justified the ban. But he goes on to say, however, "I believe, as you suggest," the person that he's writing the letter to, "that the real reason dates back to our pre-existent life." And if you'll notice something, if you've been listening to these broadcasts, this is what a lot of Mormon leaders felt, that this had something to do with the behavior of these people with dark skin before they came into mortality and what Mormons call the pre-existence. Here we have David O. McKay agreeing with this concept, saying that, yes, the reason why they are not allowed to have the priesthood is because it goes back to their pre-existent life. And of course, the story is in the war in heaven, when Lucifer, Jesus' brother, rebelled against God the Father, Elohim, there was a group of God's spirit children who were not as valiant as they could have been in choosing the right side. And even though they were valiant enough to get mortal bodies in their mortality, they would not be allowed to hold the priesthood. And as some Mormon leaders have said, this was their punishment. This was their punishment for not being valiant. Now, again, I have to emphasize, the modern leadership is making it sound like this was all based on speculation and it's nothing but folklore. But we have a lot of references that prove that that is not true.
This is an official statement of the First Presidency to BYU President Ernest L. Wilkinson, and stated August 17, 1951. And where we got that from was the Church and the Negro book by John Lewis Lund. And this is page 89. Here's what the First Presidency said. The attitude of the church with reference to the Negroes remains as it has always stood. It is not a matter of the declaration of a policy, but of direct commandment from the Lord, on which is founded the doctrine of the church from the days of its organization.
Now, I think we should stop there, because notice what he has done. He did not use the word doctrine. Well, no, wait a minute. He did use the word doctrine.
Does.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He did use the word doctrine, and he also attributes it to a direct commandment from the Lord.
Mm.
Not from some man, not from some opinion, but from the Lord.
This is the First Presidency.
The First Presidency, and remember, it's the First Presidency who was authorized in the Mormon Church to speak on doctrinal matters. BYU professors don't have that authority. The First Presidency does, and this is an official statement of the First Presidency, and the date is August 17, 1951. We've seen some conflict. Some have said it was actually, 1949?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter really what the date. The fact is, it is a document that exists somewhere and has been quoted over and over again. So go ahead, Eric, with that.
It continues on to the effect that Negroes may become members of the church, but that they are not entitled to the priesthood at the present time. The prophets of the Lord have made several statements as to the operation of the principle. President Brigham Young said, "Why are so many of the inhabitants of the earth cursed with the skin of blackness? It comes in consequence of their fathers rejecting the power of the holy priesthood and the law of God. They will go down to death. And when all the rest of the children have received their blessings in the holy priesthood, then that curse will be removed from the seed of Cain and receive all the blessings we are entitled to."
Now, again, they are going back to Brigham Young, who taught that the only way blacks could get the priesthood would be after everybody else had the opportunity to get it. And Mormon leaders of Brigham Young's day on down to 1978 believed that this would not happen in this mortality. So, the Mormon Church giving the priesthood to blacks in 1978 would, according to Brigham Young, be premature. Would be, according to this First Presidency statement, premature. That is what they taught. In the same statement, okay, it says the position of the church regarding the Negro may be understood when another doctrine of the church is kept in mind. Notice it's equating it with doctrine. Namely, that the conduct of spirits in the premortal existence has some determining effect upon the conditions and circumstances under which these spirits take on mortality, and that while the details of the principle have not been made known, the principle itself indicates that the coming to this earth and taking on of mortality is a privilege that is given to those who maintain their first estate, and that the worth of the principle is so great that spirits are willing to come to earth and take on bodies, no matter what the handicap may be as to the kind of bodies they are to secure, and that among the handicaps, failure of the right to enjoy immortality, the blessings of the priesthood, is a handicap which spirits are willing to assume in order that they might come to earth. Under this principle, there is no injustice whatsoever involved in this deprivation as to the holding of the priesthood by Negroes. I've heard this in other cases, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, how I was talking to some friends of mine who are ex-Mormons who told us that it was a belief in Mormonism that that's the reason why some kids are born with physical deformities, and that they actually made a deal with Elohim. As long as they were born into a Mormon family, they would come down with this kind of a handicap just so they could be in a Mormon environment. And of course, she found that teaching to be horribly repugnant. I do too. But it's not like this is not something that has been said in Mormon circles. Now, would that be an official doctrine? No, I don't know of any Mormon leader that's talked about this. But this is certainly some things that people in the Mormon church obviously are talking about. What did Ezra Taft Benson say?
He said, "The arm of flesh may not approve nor understand why God has not bestowed the priesthood on women or the seed of Cain, but God's ways are not man's ways. He said that at a conference in October 1967, page 34.
Okay, a conference message made by Ezra Taft Benson. Now, at this time, he was an apostle of the Mormon Church. He would later become the 13th president of the church. But notice again, he is putting the genesis of this teaching not on speculation, not on folklore, not on opinion, but he says it was God's way. Now, if we are going to believe this modern statement that came out in February from the modern church presidency, we have to, I guess, conclude that Ezra Taft Benson, who later became the 13th president, couldn't discern between speculation and what was truly God's way.
I don't think any of these men that have, we've quoted would have thought that it would have been in their lifetime that they would have seen the repeal in 1978. But he mentions here the priesthood of women. I'm thinking also of possibly homosexual marriage. How do we know if they're allowed to change that all the things that have been said against priesthood for the women and against homosexual marriage 50 years from now, they'll look back at this time and say that was mere speculation rather than the doctrine that Mormons today believe it is?
I think you make an excellent point. Really, if we're going to believe what this modern statement has just said, it seems like truth in Mormonism is always in a state of flux, that it can change at any time, at any moment, for any reason. And all of a sudden, what a Mormon believes to be doctrine today could be mere folklore tomorrow. As a Latter-day Saint, what do you think about that? Because that would certainly bother me. I wouldn't even really know if my leaders are telling me the truth all the time. I'm just going to have to blindly hope that they are, mainly because of the position that they hold in the Mormon Church. But how can a Mormon really know for sure? Because truth doesn't seem to be constant in the Mormon Church. The sad thing is that when the Mormon Church gets caught, they don't own up to it. They don't own up to it. Now, they expect the membership to own up to their things that they get caught for, but not when it comes to the Mormon leadership. They can make all sorts of excuses to try and weasel their way out of any type of blame, and this is exactly what we see happening when it comes to this particular teaching regarding the priesthood ban.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 in Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864. Or